Okay. So, well, the first order of business is we want to welcome a new CAC member, Britt.
Hi. Thank you, guys. Nice to meet everybody.
Hi, Britt.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us.
Hello.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be on a great committee.
Yeah, I think that everybody, well, most people here know that Britt is a landscape architect, and she lives here in Hudson, and she's been very willing to help with all sorts of tasks. She's already been pulled in on the sidewalk ad hoc committee meeting and given great advice there and direction on that. And apparently today she was also pulled in on signage that the grant writers are writing a grant with the Hudson River Estuary Program for the city of Hudson to get signage for the Fergery site and North Bay, which I think is wonderful. I'm sorry that I sent out so many last minute changes and updates and a little packet about the information that had been pulled together about the landfill, but then also the letter of support for this this grant that the grant writers are writing right now. And that would be our support as a CAC, if you all agree to the letter that I sent, draft letter that I sent for you to look at. So, I'm sorry, Britt was very helpful in getting some bid estimates on the...
Yeah, I talked to... So Bill called me this morning and just needed some background information on what type of, you know, educational informational signage, what would be some comparable quotes of what it would cost, and just any information we could provide that would strengthen the proposal to get the grant. And so I gave him like a spec of like a timber frame sign base and then a quote for like high pressure laminate signage. Granted, once we get the actual grant, it can be designed and it can be anything, but just was to give him rough numbers and materials and that kind of information. And then I kind of pushed him over to Tom and Hillary because of the content of the sign was to be determined.
Right. And I alluded to content type being about both the ecological aspects of the North Bay and about the history and the cultural significance of the Fergery Boat Club, which you may have read if you had a chance to read the draft letter. But yeah, we can talk about the draft letter in a few minutes. I mean, I tucked different things into this agenda because things just kept coming up in the last few days. And today in particular, things kept coming up. So I just wanted to let you know that there's nothing that I know of that it's official going on yet, but just as being interested in what grant possibilities are out there for green infrastructure that I have been talking with Tom and Britt and others about seeking a potential grant. I don't even know who brought it up first. Anyway, that designing a new parking lot for the city of Hudson that would be up to the latest eco standards. And so that may be going forward, seeking a grant in that direction. Tom can speak to that if he wishes to. I don't know where that is, but we're trying to gear ourselves up for getting ready to do a bunch of work to put into that effort.
Hillary?
Yeah.
Can I just quickly, a couple of us met with the grant writers a week ago, and they went through a list of all the funding sources that were presented themselves in recent months, or I should say last month. And immediately what popped out, of course, was this potential sign grant, which of course would tie into the DRI, which makes it even more positions us even better. and means some of those DRI funds would not have to go towards signage, which is what people were talking about. Similarly, there was a grant line that could potentially, you know, speak to this eco-friendly parking lot idea. And as you know, Britt has volunteered there to also do some preliminary work on that. So that's just how those two came about. There are a couple others that might be of interest to the CAC at some point, but that's how it came about.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And the other one that we've talked about, I don't know if it's going to move forward, but just because so many things were coming up that had to do, that would be very beautifully addressed if we had an updated comprehensive plan, we started the discussion about possibly seeking a grant in the future for updating our comprehensive plan.
That was definitely a high priority in this discussion, and we will be applying. I can't say, you know, we still has to all come before the council, but that is definitely a high priority. And it's and there is money for it in one of the funding sources.
Great. And that's something that on the side, hoping that would happen, and I would love input from other people, but all of the aspects of a comprehensive plan that the CAC feels that we should have input on, whether it's sidewalks or stormwater or trees or, and there's so many aspects. I've already made a long list, but I'll share that with everybody later. And we can just keep adding to the list and editing it down and getting it really tightened up. And so that we, what we want to do is prepare things as well as possible so that, you know, the grant writer doesn't necessarily know all of the ins and outs of say, rain gardens for a sidewalk, but we do. And so we just want to be able to put in the best input to get the best result possible to write the best grant or to have him write the best possible grant. So that moves, I tucked into here the discussion of the Fergery and the signage. And since we're talking about it, did people have an opportunity to read that draft letter that I had sent? And if not, if you wouldn't mind reading it, they need the letter quickly, unfortunately. If you feel like you can sign on to it and let me know tomorrow morning, that would be wonderful, because I will print it out and sign it with, or, you know, have the signatures of those of us that feel that we can support that letter. I think that it's kind of an easy support.
Yeah, it doesn't look controversial at all, I think.
Thank you, Tom. We got Tom. Good. It looks good to you too, Michael?
Mm-hmm.
Great. Okay.
Okay, my Brit. And me. Looks good.
Okay. Good.
I don't know if you see our little thumbs up that we keep putting on. I don't know if you have the tile view or just speaker view.
I have the tile view. Yeah. Cool. And Tom O'Dowd keeps coming in and out of focus depending on emphasis.
Depending on his lighting.
Best lighting here, I know.
Yeah.
Backlit.
So the other thing that this was just something that we'd heard around town, and I don't know if there's anything to it. Does anybody know about a waterfront, the state public boat launch? There are rumors that the state is considering greening up the area and putting in. Okay. It's just a rumor. It's Hudson. Okay. We wanted to hear from Marie about what was happening with the HHA RFQ.
Okay, so we are getting very close, I'd say in the next couple of weeks, to actually having a document that we would like city agencies, certainly the CAC, to take a look at. to help us essentially create the draft, the official draft, which will then go out to public comment for 30 days, probably sometime in the next 4 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks, I'll have a document that I will send out to, I'll send it to you, Hillary, and then you can distribute it as you see fit. Or,
oh,
and
no.
If there, and I think that it would be good to get, you know, a couple of people just to take a look at this. I think where we could send the whole document, but I'm starting to think maybe we'll send sections that are appropriate to CAC because it's 54 pages and obviously not all of it is. So yeah, so expect in the next 2 weeks to get something. We'll probably have a couple of weeks before the next monthly meeting to put that information together. And so yeah, that's it. So
great.
We're pretty close. Yeah.
Great. And so anybody who's here that doesn't know, when Marie joined the CAC, she wondered if maybe the CAC could offer any advice or guidance in environmental aspects of an RFQ that would be for an HHA new buildings, rebuilding, anything that would have to do with open space or possibly building materials.
Sidewalks, for example, you know, I mean, yeah, parking lots, all of it. Yeah.
So that's what we're doing. We're going to help them if as much as we can to write a really clear RFA that includes all the sorts of amenities that we think should be there for.
So just really quickly to keep in mind, too, this is an RFQ, so we're not trying to completely, you know, invent all of it. It's general principles. And
right.
One of the big issues, I think, also is really the landscaping, and because connecting the various, you know, parts of the property that are going to be built mm-hmm. out and how to create a unified space is a really big one.
Mm-hmm.
I think that in landscaping is a big one. So anyway, yeah, next couple of weeks.
Great. So both Marie and Britt were also on the sidewalk ad hoc committee meeting, and that took a turn, that changed. So do you two want to speak about that?
Britt, why don't you kick it off?
Sure. Yeah, we talked mostly about strategies that we could deal with stormwater on site as opposed to conveying it into the river or the sewer overflow. And so we talked a lot about the inclusion of bioswales or rain gardens or expanded tree pits without impacting circulation or creating mobility impairments for chair users or stroller users. And a good strategy for that is to do elongated tree wells that are like up to 10 feet long, but only 2 or 3 feet wide. And of course, planting them with trees, but then underplanting them with plantings as opposed to hardscape and then doing a curb cut. So you're collecting water from the crown of the road as well as sidewalk, which will be pitched away from the building. So it's all channeling into this bioswale, which will hold the water and do a slow percolation as opposed to like a quick shedding of the water.
I actually have a quick question, Britt, because I didn't ask the question the other day. And this applies to the various stone types that are being considered as well, right? There's no limit in terms of the types of stones you, right? Okay.
No, you could do it with a concrete, you could do it with a bluestone, and you could do it with a brick paver. And of course, like a unit paver could be considered a permeable paver depending on the subgrade buildup, if you have like an aggregate subgrade buildup as opposed to a concrete subbase. Sorry, I'm just going to shut the door.
I kind of like Tom to sort of, you know, butt in here just because I feel like maybe Britt and I should get together one day. Britt, I know you're volunteering for maybe too many things, but... For an
well,
hour,
sidewalks and trees are fun for us.
Excellent. So, like, maybe you and I could just walk around for an hour, take some notes, start to put something together for the next sidewalk meeting, because I do feel like there's definitely scope for the CAC to
there's
really
tons of scope.
Help to
yeah.
advise that moving forward. Tom, do you agree?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's partly why I invited Britt to come to the meeting.
I mean, Britt really kind of like, you know, schooled us all, I have to say.
Yep.
And it was a very good education. So
sidewalks are absolutely the environmentalist's purview. We're trying to get it away from the contractor hardscape world.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big part of our purview.
If you guys come up with a date for a walk around, I'd love to join, but no pressure.
Yeah, we should all pick a nice night, like a right after work, or we could do a lunchtime.
Now's looking pretty good.
Yeah. I'm back on Monday.
Okay.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Otherwise, I'd like meet you now. I was pushing Hillary to do our meetings outside.
Yeah, and then you end up being in Connecticut, so.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So, sorry, but I'm back.
So I'll send an email around on Monday, and we can pick a date. When, you know, whoever wants to join can make it. Because that would be really useful.
Right.
Cool.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. David Konigsberg and I reviewed a whole bunch of things this weekend because there was a post about the landfill. But in that, we also dug up a couple of topics, and I'm about to put Tom O'Dowd on the spot. And because at the last minute, David reminded me that you had brought up the topic that one thing that we should, I believe, tell me if I got this wrong, that we should write a position paper in about the umbrella under the umbrella of urban alternative energy, that and that we should be really focusing on that so that we have a position on it and we're not reacting to, let's say, somebody, you know, decides they want to put a solar farm in their backyard or at the Plum Bronson house, and so that we're reacting to that, but to come up with a general urban plan regarding alternative and new energy. So
I think if I can break in for a second, I think what we're thinking is, you know, because it came up about possibly leaping from the original site of the proposed solar farm across the road to this big landfill, and there's all sorts of reasons why you know, we and other people have things to say about that. But the question really becomes specifically, like, how do you address urban alternative energy? Like, specifically, how do you do it in a way that either doesn't destroy habitat or take away from valuable public open space or potential open space or, you know, connector space that brings, like, those kinds of amenities together? How do you begin to incorporate alternative energy into an urban place like Hudson in a way that brings value? And one of the things that we're thinking is that there's a lot of money in it right now, and there's a big push in that direction right now. And we feel that as a group, maybe we should get out ahead of the curve so that things aren't cited where they shouldn't be, or opportunities are missed because nobody knows, or because money becomes a driving factor and not the value to the city in the long run. So, we haven't really explored that area. You know, we have no committee that does that. We haven't taken positions on it. And we were, and Hillary and I discussing with them, that's kind of a big avenue or a big gap in what we cover, and it's going to be, and the pressure around alternative energy is just going to keep growing, and people want to build solar farms or wind installations or whatever that maybe we should start to form some kind of subcommittee and talk about that stuff and start to explore and research and see what other small cities are doing that are ahead of the curve. That makes sense.
Yeah,
well, it makes sense to me.
Nutshell, maybe like proposing putting solar on big wide open roofs or over parking lots before we propose, cutting down a forest to put up a solar field, perhaps. Current solar plans, but there's a lot of open space that doesn't need to be protected. So why don't we go from there?
I just have a really quick question about that, actually. Are there programs that you're aware of where cities might encourage solar corridors through certain neighborhoods? So let's say, I don't know if this is true, but up and down Columbia Street where I live, there may be particularly good sunlight for certain properties. And I guess the question is, are there programs like that that homeowners can engage in?
Yeah, we don't know.
Has online software that salesmen use to prospect. And they can look at a bunch of houses and say, oh, you know, 123 Main Street looks like a great place. You know, there's no trees in the way and the roof is pointed the right way. Let me give that homeowner a call. And so that software is quite sophisticated now. But the question is, what do you then do with it? I think the goal of the city is to encourage, to help homeowners understand this sort of stuff, so that even if, you know, somebody other than them, because this is accessible to the homeowner as well, says, oh, your roof is good for this, and they say, well, I don't care about this, get out of my face. I think we can have a role of educational outreach that helps people understand how this sort of stuff works, and even to set up a program that New York has encouraged for a number of years called the Solarize program, in which an organized set of educational outreaches occur that the city chooses a couple of vendors of the hardware and gets them to reduce their normal charges in exchange for presenting them with a bunch of pre-qualified customers, which the city and its educational outreach would wind up doing. So I was involved in a number of those activities in Ulster and Dutchess County. And they work very well and would have the effect that I think we're talking about here, is to have more uptake of the solar rooftop or somewhere on the property issue.
Right. And I think also, you know, just to thinking about like slightly larger scale distributed solar capacity, you know, there might be opportunities for that in town rather than taking a grassland habitat and turning it into a solar farm.
Oh, indeed. Certainly, there could be policy recommendations that we could come up with. That's always fine. Britt, did you have something to say?
Yeah, I was going to say there were two other kind of strategies. We could, of course, increase advocacy and awareness, but
sorry, may I interrupt you just for a second? I apologize to everyone. Michael, I just got a message that Tim O'Connor is trying to join the meeting, and your host. Can you see if he's in a waiting room trying to get in?
Sure.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, Britt, go ahead.
No problem. I was going to say, on a municipal level, there's incentives. Like, for example, New York State had a tax abatement for people that did new green roofs or did solar photovoltaic panels on their roof. And then they also, in New York City, did local law 94 and 92 that mandated new construction has to either have a green roof or a solar panel on their rooftop. So any of, like, new developments, that could certainly encourage them to do photovoltaic panels or green roofs. And then, let's say, the warehouses, which is a really big, large, flat roof, perhaps, you know, if they were getting a tax abatement, they would put on solar panels or green roofs, and that's a strategy to sort of incentivize them to make the investment. So not a lot that we can do unless we, you know, have the ear of Tom to help push legislation, but that's another strategy to kind of get people to do the green thing.
Most of the plans that have come before the planning board these days all include green infrastructure of that kind.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I guess it would be good to look at I think this issue from a broad perspective as well. Like, I'm just wondering if that there are cities that have, you know, smaller cities or larger cities that have really been enlightened in terms of integrating alternative energy and green roofs and what have you into just the way they operate, and whether that have made a lot of headway in sort of understanding what comprehensively they did, you know, all the different avenues that, you know, all the different buttons they pushed, built around, you know, a position on, you know, a decision to be this kind of city. But yeah, I'm just wondering, and I don't know the answer. I suspect that there are places that are really, as I said, really ahead of the curve on this, and it would be good to learn just what they've done.
Agreed. So, not to push anybody, but Tom and David, or does somebody else want to spearhead this topic? Writing a position on this topic?
We could
take help research.
I think we could do it. We just tap expertise where we need it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm guessing like all the information is out there already. It's a question of compiling it.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And digesting it and creating something clear.
Right. That's for this little 2 square miles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, since we're on the topic of alternative energy, I'm you know, looking, there's a couple of other things on the agenda to update on, but why don't we talk about the whole solar ad hoc committee RFP process and that caused us to create a position paper in a bit of a hurry, because other people in town were getting very anxious on the topic. And so why don't we start to talk about that? I think everybody did receive the position draft that David wrote up, I think, earlier today.
Well, Hillary, I didn't get anxious till this morning when all these things showed up in my email. And then, of course, discovering that so much of it was based on misinformation. And that's why I wanted Peter here to, and also I'm glad Christine is here, because Christine knows that one of the first calls I made was to her, saying that any project that did use the landfill would certainly include or try to include the CLC proposal. So I still don't know what all the hubbub was about. But Peter, would you like to explain exactly what did happen in our meeting and how it was really just, I don't quite understand what's the response is.
Well, and that's why we wanted to talk with you first, and why we wrote to you this morning, is because there was all this talk about it, but neither David nor I were able to get to that meeting, and you know, we wanted to talk with you and somebody who had been at the meeting.
Yeah, so, well, essentially the meeting was, you know, there was no, as you know, the original plan is just a solar farm on the plateau above Charles Williams Park.
Mm-hmm.
Then Peter suggested we expand it to consider the landfill. Now, knowing full well the whole history of what's happened with consideration of the landfill, this is not news. This was not news to anyone on the solar committee. But what is news is that a number of things have changed in terms of how solar farms are developed. For one thing, as Peter can verify, one of the if this interfered with pollinator efforts or with habitat efforts, then it was a no-go. I mean, this was all very, you know, made pretty clear, I think, or maybe not. But it was still a matter of discussion. Nothing was determined. So it's really kind of a tempest in a teapot. But that's what happens, you know?
Well, I think as Hillary said, we weren't at the meeting. We were responding to the conversation and gossips, which was pretty robust. The impression we didn't get, we didn't hear more than what we basically reported and what we responded to.
Yeah, one of the first calls I made because of your report was to Tiffany Martin. And basically, nothing what she had said was really relevant to what we were talking about. She was responding to, as you said, the blog. And, you know, that's fine if that's how you want to do things.
Right. So why don't I just explain my assignment?
Thank you, Peter.
And my action plan and some of what was said, and maybe that'll clarify some of the misinformation. So Tom assigned me the opportunity to go out and look at two specific parcels that he identified. Excuse me. One is called on the Columbia County Real Property Records, the Atlas Brickyard, which consists of 15.88 acres, and it's owned by the City of Hudson. The other parcel Tom asked me to look at was North 2nd Street Extension, listed on the Columbia County Real Property, and it's 62 acres. And those two parcels somehow, some way, border the landfill, the Columbia County landfill, the CAP landfill, and in that area. And knowing, being part of the group that met down there with Tiffany Martin, Mayor Martin Hamilton, in 2016, I was familiar with the discussion, excuse me, and familiar with the difference of opinion and the CLC's proposed trail. And as Tom mentioned a few minutes ago, much has changed since 2016. And while I was reviewing the parcels that Tom provided me with, it was discovered that the Columbia County records weren't very clear and that the property boundaries weren't really identifiable such that you could put an RFP out and hand out this document with a map or a survey and say, these are the two parcels we'd like you to consider develop. So some of it appeared to overlap with the landfill. Some of it overlapped with the tea factory down there, which I understand has some methane vents on that side of the road as well. So those are the two parcels, and I explored that with Supervisor Ron Knott, Stuyvesant Supervisor Knott, who is also on the committee of the DPW committee, and he was instrumental in the initial discussion about that, and he was looking to develop the landfills for solar throughout the county as a larger plan. So in our discussion, you know, we had more questions. So what we agreed to was to work with Columbia County Real Property identifying and the planning department to come up with maps that were very clear. So that's in the process. So the discussion on the solar on the landfill came up because there is a lot of new information out there about solar on landfills, and they go throughout the state. And once a landfill is capped, you know, there's really not much you can do with it. You know, the foundation, you can't penetrate the cap. There's sometimes a smell, there's hazards. It's difficult to convert it to a public space. And the literature talks about the Freshgills Park on Staten Island as an example of converting a landfill into a public space. But that took a long time, is my understanding. So that's more of the exception. So solar farms on these large tracts of cap land is a good use, and it could save municipalities money and do a lot of other things. And it goes to the point that was made a little while ago about, you know, not putting it on agricultural land or valuable land, but it's put on something that, you know, can be used for this. And since then, they developed a ballast system where the solar panels sit on ballast and they don't penetrate the cap. And excuse me, these have been built for many years, and there are certain companies that are good to it. And it's also part of the U.S. EPA's Repowering America Land Initiative that encourages reuse of contaminated properties for renewable energy projects. And I know that one of the articles I read, did some research on, indicated, I believe, there are in the United States 417 renewable projects on contaminated lands across the United States. And 245 of those are solar installations that have been placed on landfills. So it only made sense to me to kind of explore that. There was no finite answers made. We don't have all that yet. We're still in the early stages. We're developing the RFP document. But all this made sense to me because of the literature, what I read. And then we talked about the pollinators, which I wasn't that familiar with, and I wanted to explore. And it appears to be a good fit, as you already know. And the only question I had was how the pollinators might work, or if it was any different from a landfill on an agricultural piece of land versus on a capped landfill. So I had said at the meeting that I would leave it up to the experts to kind of look at that. But that wasn't saying that I said no to it. It was basically saying we need to understand it and get the experts to give us some advice on it. As far as the 2016 meeting and CLC developing their trail, there was some discussion. My understanding was that certain individuals wanted to go over top the land cap landfill, and that apparently is not a recommended way to go across going across a cap landfill. There's concerns with that, and they didn't think that was a good idea. So they developed other drawings, and I had gotten some of the drawings or some of the renderings and some of the surveys from Ron Knott. He provided that were prepared back then. And so I think that since then, the Empire Trail was developed. And even though there's no direct route from, I'll say, Second Street up through to the Greenport Conservation Area, there could be. And it could go around the landfill. It doesn't have to go on top of the landfill. Mm-hmm. So that's still into consideration. And Tom had asked me in my assignment to, you know, still consider that as we develop this. So, you know, keep in mind, this is an RFP for developers of solar farms. We're asking them to consider other things with that. So pollinators will be one, and then a trail, you know, how do we develop that trail is part of it as well. So that idea still lives. It's not, it was discarded. So, you know, there's, the idea still lives, and it will be part of the RFP. Now, I also discovered in speaking with Ron Knott that there was a study, and which makes this more interesting to me, you know, on top of the landfill, is that there was a study directly on the by the U.S. EPA in June of 2017, and it was entitled Solar Photovoltaic Screening Study of Property Close Municipal Solid Waste Landfills, specifically the Hudson Landfill. And they go through all kinds of, this information will be part of the RFP. And in it, their conclusion was that this site would be a great site. You know, they did the studies on, they have all these, you know, metrics about where the sun is and how it works and how the panels work with the sun. And they came up with all they did and basically said that the Hudson Landfill area would be a ideal location. This is US EPA 2017 came up with that study. So that encouraged me even more. So there is no finite decision to do it that way, but it looks encouraging to me. Now, the other question comes up in that review is the liability. So in 2016, I recall the county offered to sell the landfill to the city of Hudson for $1. Well, we know what all that is, right? But we made no decision on that. We don't know how this works. But the idea of this RFP was to do a long-term lease, a 25-year lease with a developer for the land. The developer would pay rent to the city of Hudson. And if it were on top of the landfill, it would be, you know, some type of shared arrangement. We haven't figured that out yet. Haven't talked to Columbia County's council. We did talk to, I spoke to Jeffrey Baker for a little bit on this, but nothing in detail. The developer would perform the construction, take over the entire maintenance of the site. And there would be still reporting requirements to DEC and EPA. There's a procedure for this. There's a protocol when you develop on top of landfills. There's a protocol that has to continue. The developer gets all the permits and does all the permit studies. The developer gets the electric interconnect permits and does all the utility studies. The developer pays to build the solar project and owns it for that 25-year period. And then at the end of 25-year period, there's a removal process that happens where the developer is responsible for breaking down the equipment because at that point it's determined it becomes obsolete. And then, you know, the developer sells the electric power to area customers, or sometimes there's a combination where there's that community solar aspect. We haven't figured all that out yet. That's what we're asking the developers to give us a proposal to say, this is what we think is best. We think this site, that site, these are the best components of it. And that's why we do the RFP, to get the idea. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's the payment, right? There's the payment. It's either a pilot or some other agreement, you know, for the term. But that in a nutshell is pretty much what we talked about and why I focused on the capped landfill as part of this. But all of those other things are still in play here, and I'm in the process of preparing the draft document for the next meeting. And you know, it's, you know, it, there's nothing finite yet, as they say, it's still in process. So if you have any questions for me or the assignment, you know, I'm happy to answer it, but that's pretty much what I'm working on.
Right. Is there any discussion on this on things valuable habitat and dew shed and all that?
Just something.
The river from the top of the hill, birds that now nest there.
I know that was discussed. I'm focused more on the scientific information about whether the landfill, more of the mechanical piece of this project, because it's here's pieces of land. This is what we'd like to do with it. Can you do it? What can you do with it? Here's the study that EPA says it's a perfect site. The other aspect of it, David, that you're talking about is not part of what I do in this. You know, that could come later, perhaps, you know, in a development piece later on as part of a negotiation or a discussion when we get the proposals in.
Well, I would like to say that I think that from the CAC's perspective, if I may be so bold, and looking at the natural resources inventory that was produced by the CAC in conjunction with a lot of our allies, like CLC helped in the Hudson River Estuary, that I think the first step would be, I totally understand that scientifically it can work out. It can, the technology's there. There are ways to do that. And that the EPA says, oh, that's a good use of landfills. Is that a good use of this piece of property in our tiny little 2 square miles? And is that its highest use? Has possibly this piece of land already served its highest use to us and, you know, injured the property as a landfill. It's been now capped. It's healing. Species are coming back, you know, birds and wildlife, and it's a great grassland. And that I would rather address all of the environmental issues of if this even should be included and not say, well, we can talk with the developer about how they feel about rare species and plants and animals and eagles hunting grounds afterwards. So, Peter, I totally respect everything that you know about this and that the technology is there. I know that that homework's done. I just wonder if this piece of property really should even be on the table. I would like to see it personally as an open space with beautiful views, a place to that you walk around and view and over to the Greenport Conservation Area. And bicycles and people and humans, but
well, here's the issue. First, let me just it wasn't that the way you represented what I was saying with the developers. It was working with the developers to give them the idea of what we're looking to do, not that we're asking them what they think about it. We're going to say, give us a proposal. This is what we want. This is what we think can happen. Then we discussed with them what we'd like to see. It wasn't we're asking them to give us that.
And right. No, Peter, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to misinterpret right. or restate what you said. No, I respect what you said. Yeah.
Thank you. And the other thing is you can't really walk on that landfill. They don't want you walking on that landfill. So when you say it's going to be turned into something else, it'll take a long time before, I believe, you can walk on that as a public space. So that's why they considered, and that's why there are 400 of these projects throughout the state, throughout the country, using landfills with these ballasted type systems so they don't penetrate the cap and they don't want you on there. So it's really, it's really a better use of that space that's basically, a landfill, right? I mean, it's got methane coming out of those vents, to a certain extent. You don't want people really walking on that. It's not intended to be a park. And I don't know how you develop into a park. That's not in my my
opinion. Christine would like to add something.
Yeah, I'd like to speak to that point of whether it's possible or somehow, not a good idea for the landfill cap for there to be public access. And a lot of the background of looking at the potential for the North Bay Recreation Area and the potential for a trail leading through and along or over the landfill site to the Greenport Conservation Area, began by looking at that question and this particular landfill, how it was capped. And so what we found along the way is that, creating new kind of places for people to gather up there where you have a lot of people and you'd need to have like emergency vehicle access because you have a lot of people there and you need to be able to drive on the cap. That's not the kind of public access you could allow at this landfill. But a walking path that takes you across and threads through with sufficient distance from those methane vents, those pipes that are still present on the landfill, that is very doable. And the New York State Parks grant that funded the design work of Star White House, they looked at, so what is the way you could cross over the landfill and create a walking path? A natural surface walking path would be mowed. And it was found that that could be done without, the other consideration when you're doing things on the landfill cap is drainage. Is that shedding water the way it should, or is it not? And then contributing to seeps at the base of the landfill mound. And the design that was come up with by Star White House, met that criteria. You could create this walking path, natural surface along this particular route. And it would not be, detrimental to the landfill cap or to its shedding of water. There is still a challenge to implementing that design. That design exists. And the challenge to implementing the design is a landfill, maintenance issue, which is the seeps. And so, that is still a challenge. That's a challenge that, we believe could be fixed over time. And, but I think when you're referring to, that can't happen for a while, that might be the challenge that you're talking about. And I could share, I only have a few more minutes because I have a couple of meetings. I could just, I don't know if you allow people, guests, to share screens, but I could just share that path that was designed. But that doesn't mean that's the only way you could cross this landfill with a walking path. Doesn't mean that other things couldn't come into play and the design couldn't shift to accommodate other uses or not. But there is, you know, you can cross that landfill. So I just wanted to make that point.
So Christine, yes, we do have that map, actually. Tom and I have that map. That was given to me by Ron.
That would be great for us all to see.
Star White House prepared that, and that was given to me by Ron Knott. And it basically does go past that area that is known to be weeping, et cetera, and it does create that S. So that's on the riverside of the landfill.
Well, there's that path. The Star White House design had two paths. One is a flat, close to the wetland, at the base of the slope of the landfill path, which goes along what is the maintenance road to the landfill. And that would just go to an overlook, and that could be ADA accessible. And then there's the crossing the cap to reach the corner of the property, the high point with a beautiful view looking back toward the river. And then that upland path is, you know, the other path. So there's kind of two paths to that design.
I do see that now.
And we had to really, you know, Star White House had to really kind of thread the needle with laying out those paths for considerations of where the pipes are, considerations of the, you know, the topography of the landfill as it is now, and kind of where people naturally want to go. And, you know, the only other thing I kind of note about that design is where there's not a huge, you know, something that's worth thinking about, because an alternative that keeps coming up and thrown into the conversation over time is, what if people just, you know, walk up to Harney T, walk onto the landfill from there. And North 2nd Street and the large trucks that drive up there for Harney T, you know, there's not good pedestrian access on that part of North 2nd Street up to that parking lot. So another key part of this design was get people off of that North 2nd Street, pedestrians off that extension, and give them a walking path with a bridge over the stream to access the site. So, you know, when you're thinking of alternatives, I think that pedestrian access and pedestrian safety is an important feature, and it's easy to overlook when you're just looking at the site plan.
So the landfill property is owned by Columbia County. So that would be the other challenge, right?
Yeah. I mean, this has always been thought of as a partnership of city, county, and CLC. And, you know, back in 2014, earlier, before this whole particular specific design was created, the city and county each passed and executed a memorandum of understanding under which kind of further design and exploration would go forward. Yeah.
And so to continue to progress the assignment, we could completely discount the cap, and I could just focus on the two parcels that have been identified once we get a better map, once we get a better survey of those properties, just keep moving it forward.
Yep.
So that's what we'll do then.
I think Nick has been raising his hand.
Oh, thank you, Tom. Nick, did you want to say something? And thank you, Peter. That sounds good.
Yeah, Christine said a lot of the things that I was going to say, and she's the person who obviously has been working on this the longest. But that was my one point, was to just remind everybody that you can't go up on the landfill right now. It's not a public space. It's not a place that people are allowed to walk dogs or do anything else. The county actually makes it very clear that it's closed. And I think that the concept that the CLC has been working on for so long of a trail is something that's really needed. And I think that we should all try to advocate as hard as we can for that, because it could be such an amazing thing to connect the city of Hudson to the Greenport Conservation Area, which is an amazing resource. And if this RFP could be a way that that could happen, I think we should take advantage of it. And I think if we have Peter writing an RFP right now and trying to solicit proposals, if we could work to make sure that the concept of this trail that the Land Conservancy's worked so hard on can be implemented, and that could be a part of what people are bidding on, I think that would be exceptional, and that could be something that could get this whole process going again. And it's kind of stalled out for a little bit, and that's been something I've been really concerned about, because I think that having this trail and that access to the conservation area is really an environmental justice issue, because folks in the city of Hudson really don't have access to green spaces in the way that other communities do. And the Empire State Trail is great, but me, like a lot of other people, when we go to use it, we drive to Greenport and get on behind the strip to go onto the Empire State Trail. And this would be the real first access for residents of the city of Hudson to green space and to open space. And I think it's really important. And I would do anything I can do to help. And I would encourage everyone else to jump on this and see what we can do to make sure that this is part of the RFP and it's something we're all working for, because it's a really amazing idea. And it's been long, far too long. It's been a plan, and I'd love to actually see it happen. So that's my rambling comment. Thank you.
Thanks, Nick. Does anybody else have anything they want to add?
I was just curious if any of the experts here thought that solar, you know, and trail could coexist, or if having a trail and being a scenic park-like place totally rules out solar.
Well, Tom, that was, I'm not an expert, that's for certain, but that was the idea that Peter was going to pursue, whether that was all compatible. That's why I really didn't anticipate this kerfluffle, you know? It just...
That's exactly right, and that's what we're trying to get the proposals, is to get some expert advice so that we can work this through. You know, that's what we're trying to do. It seems to me to be the best of both worlds, quite frankly, but... You know, I'll do what you know, what I'm assigned, and if Tom tells me to cut the land out of it, I'll do it.
Well, I'd like to just say I'm not saying that you said that the kerfuffle is not created by the CAC. The CAC decided that we better get on this issue because a kerfuffle was happening and that we wanted to be able to have this kind of a forum and discussion about it before, you know, there's just lots of...
No, I certainly wasn't.
Right. No, I didn't think you were, but I just wanted to let you know. So, sure. So I really love that we're all talking about all of this. And I think I still have to go back to the question of, I respect all of the work that everyone's doing on this, and I'm really glad that Nick Zakos got in. I'm totally behind what CLC wants to do in the area. Can the solar coexist with the animal species, the bird species, the grasslands, and the natural situation, I think, is yet to be answered. I understand that there's new technology in the solar industry and that there are ways to get it on the land, but is that going to be the right thing environmentally? And also, does it coexist with, you know, visually and aesthetically and how we want to see our open space? I mean, so it's a 2 or 3 part question.
When you talk about visually, though, the only visual I think we should be concerned with, really, I mean, this is just my opinion, should be from the river. And my understanding is that one of the CLC trails was that space. So, you know, it would be very consistent with that view. And as others have pointed out, you're not supposed to be walking on it. So your view going up that hill is really, I don't know, is that worth protecting something that's not even allowed? I don't know. Well, I'm more concerned with what Tim apparently has brought up about ruining habitats that's developed. That's significant, in my view.
I think that is more significant than you. just on a personal level. I can't speak for the whole CAC on that. But yeah, the habitat, I think that's the ecological thing to be looking into and getting an answer about before knowing if we should. Marie?
Well, I was just going to say, I think one thing to consider in this issue of putting a solar farm on that property is that, you know, this is a transition site. So it's a site that's moving from essentially a capped landfill with grass on it, I presume, to something much more diverse than that. And, you know, putting solar panels requires construction. And it's not just simply a question of plopping them down and they're done. So I do think the question, not just of what does it look like and what are the implications once they're up there, but what is the disruption to get them there in the first place? I think that's one thing that, well, obviously the developer would, that would be one of the questions. Anyway, that was just like, throw that in there.
Number, yeah, there's a, Marie, there's a number of studies. I mean, if you Googled up, you can see the same thing I found. Solar on landfills. You can see throughout the state of New York, and specifically I looked at New York State because of the incentives and the, you know, the requirements by the government to solarize, et cetera, in the different programs. And NYSERDA is involved, EPA from a national perspective is involved, but you'll see that it's been a successful, every municipality, Westchester County, Buffalo, Erie County, Yates County, throughout the state of New York, has done this, and they have been, you know, very successful. Some of them are by rivers and water ways, water. So,
yeah, can I just add, because Tim did make a point. It's absolutely true. They remain grasslands, but grasslands are more than just grass. I mean, there's multiple types of grass. There are also plants that grow in grasslands that are permissible on a capped landfill. So it's not just a mode green, as far as I'm aware.
To go back to the earlier discussion, early in the meeting, you know, where you're considering placing solar, you know, if not a capped landfill, you know, where, and not agricultural prime land, you know, where else in the 2 square miles do you put it?
Well, roofs and parking lots.
Yeah, but I'm talking about a municipal, you know, a larger scale solar farm type.
Sarah,
I think the easy answer is there isn't a whole lot of open space that, you know, isn't either sensitive or concrete or whatever. I mean, it's that's the reality of Hudson. It is 2 square miles, and there's no getting around that. Sarah had something to say, I think.
Sarah?
Yeah, I'm one of the kerfluffle people. Because it was the first time I've heard about this, and I was definitely passionate about this back in 2016 and very involved. So I feel a little left out of the loop. But I think what Christine Vanderland says is there is the potential of walking, of having a path through the top there. And what Michael says, you know, there's 2 square miles. There is the other place right next to it, the Charles Williams Park up there. I think there are areas around there. And I just feel that land is so precious. And I worry that, you know, Peter Bezhanov, if you're going to make a study, then people are going to assume that's what the city wants to do. And if there's a way to decide first, no, we want to preserve this view shed and don't want to pursue solar up there, because once you get that study in place, then it's going to be assumed that that's what you want to do. And I just think it's such a fragile, important area. Bobolinks and all. Thank you.
Thank you.
You should see what they did to the South Bay when they built that factory. I grew up in there, and there's all kinds of cars and parts and oil and all kinds of bad things. Urban Renewal did some real serious things to the South Bay. So anyway, yeah, I'm familiar with that.
And I know that DEC or someone comes in at least yearly and checks the seeping. So that's an ongoing maintenance issue.
Of course. course.
And that would be continuing if the solar was on there. That's a requirement as well.
Right.
Nick Zakos had something to add.
Yeah, I think everybody's, the concerns that everybody's bringing up are really valid concerns. The bobolinks, the habitat, everything. And so I'm just wondering, since it's kind of a unique situation that doesn't normally occur, where you have the person writing the RFP kind of looking for feedback and looking for direction, how he does it. And I guess the question is to Peter, could you put out an RFP because we're not just looking at the landfill, you're looking at this for the larger other properties. Could you put it out and say, these are the properties that will be the main site for the solar farm, and these properties are adjacent and could be possibilities if you could meet these standards, meet these contingencies of the concept of a trail, the concept of habitat for bobolinks, other migratory birds, and let them come back with proposals that we can all see, knowing the community's priorities from what you've heard at this meeting? Or is that too much to put in an RFP?
Sounds like some work we did last week, Nick. We can.
I know how good you are at it.
Thank you. Let me just say this. And maybe it's a little selfish, but I don't want to do something that's just going to be tabled or trashed. This is a lot of work on my part. And to craft it properly and to get the right response, I put my heart into it. So what I don't want to happen is I do this work, because it's happened in the past, that it just gets tabled, or, because I can use my time, as Nick will tell you, on other things. But yes, we can do that. But think about this. I can go back to the two properties that Tom gave me to work on, get the map cleaned up, and just focus on those. They will be around. They will be around the landfill, right? So those properties are around the landfill or near the landfill. The other question, or the other query, is, what does Columbia County do? Maybe now they heard this and they say, we want to put solar on all of the cap landfills in Columbia County. What control do we have on that then, if they own that property and they decide to do that? So my idea here was, let's work together. They made a proposal before. The science is all positive. We can maybe now come to a different agreement if we work together. So I was trying to be proactive and make something we want to happen, rather than try to use maybe less, because if we put an RFP out and the two pieces that Tom identified, they say, no, not big enough. No, it doesn't work. No, the sun's not in the right place. Sorry. So we put out an RFP and we wasted that. We got an answer. And then the county comes in and says, hey, we're going to put solar on all of our capped landfills. Then where are we? So that's why I say, let's try to work with Columbia County while we have the opportunity, and let's see what we can come up with. But that's me. But just tell me, I just need to know one way or another, we're going to move forward or not, because this is extensive work on this one, because there's a lot to it. That's all I ask. Thank you, Nick.
I certainly like Nick's idea, Peter. I just don't know if that... Can you frame something like that easily?
It would take some work. Yeah. And like I say, part of it is getting a response. These developers aren't going to go in to complete a document, extensive document like we asked for information. Unless they have something, and it has to be viable for them, right? It's not just about us.
Right.
And my fear is, we put this document out, it has so many restrictions that the developers say, no, I'm not interested. And then where are we, right? We spun our wheels for a lot. If we give them a little bit, give the little flexibility, and if, we're all flexible and we can all achieve a little bit of what we want and compromise, I think it's all better. We have goals to reach in terms of solar in New York State, right? We know that. Right now, we have NYSERDA working with us. We have money available. We have EPA, on our side. So I think the timing is right, but, it's not my call, quite frankly. But can I write something? I have to write something that is going to attract interest. And, it can't be so restricted that we don't get anybody to respond. That's not good.
Does anybody else have anything they want to add? I'm not very good at this multitasking and looking at chat. There seems to be stuff in the chat. Does anybody want to discuss something with the whole group? Because I certainly respect that, Peter and what Peter is working on and the work that he needs to put into such a document, that he'd like to know, should this go one way or another? Is it our position at the CAC? We've given some input. I don't know if it's our position to direct Peter. I mean, that's Tom and Peter's relationship. And I'm not quite sure what we should do exactly at this juncture. Did people on the CAC have an opportunity to look at the position paper that David wrote on the use of the landfill for solar? Do you feel like you want to adopt that as a position, or would like to digest it and think about it more after this evening? I'm not quite sure exactly where to go at this moment.
I think we have some information to go through at this point, and I wouldn't adopt it just yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It seemed to me like it had a lot of the quotes from the comments section of Gossips, and that I don't know if that feels like a position paper to me. It feels like...
No, it's not.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Good question. Are there any hardscape components that, within the city, like parking lots or large flat rooftops, be it public housing spaces, that could be considered alternates to the natural field? Like, could we write the RFP, or could the RFP be written in a way to consider something that's already a hardscape? And for example, like there's a municipal lot, maybe the municipal lot is given a story of photovoltaic panels and like has a vaulted ceiling on it with, some drainage. Or is there a flat paneled roof? Like, are there any hardscape parts of the city that haven't been considered, or why is that not on the table, and why are we only talking about the open field source? I'm coming at it from like a brand new person, so there's background that I just don't think we will probably discuss.
The original idea was a open field that seemed to have no downside to using.
Got it.
It wasn't the landfill. It was the area on the eastern part of North 2nd Street. That's a plateau that most people haven't even seen because it's very difficult to access. In terms of those are all plausible because there are city-owned parking lots, but somehow, knowing the city, I think there'd be more opposition to that than something that said, always in my mind was places that are not highly visible.
And, less controversy for not in my backyard.
Exactly.
Thinking.
Trust me. I mean, if we wanted to turn the parking lot down by the Amtrak station into what you're talking about, I guarantee you there'd be manifest opposition.
More of a kerfuffle than this. Got it. I'm just trying to understand the politics drove us to.
Which isn't to
field.
Say that those aren't real possibilities.
Yeah.
The real physical answer, Brett, is that there's plenty of hardscape in the city that could be a candidate for a solar installation, including but not limited to the parking lots that Tom mentioned.
Got it. Thank you.
We can do a tour of the parking lots.
I think we're on that tour, so I'm excited to do that tour.
a proposal was made several years ago to the city for the parking lot in back of City Hall to be fitted out with solar.
Yeah, as I recall, Michael, it was a very small sort of shed-like. It wasn't for the whole parking lot, correct?
No, no, it was intended to cover the whole place. Okay. I think we might be talking about two different things.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I mean, Sarah mentions the thing down by the Antiques Warehouse and Hudson Brewing Company that, you know, is a good parking spot for, I don't know, 10 cars, covered, sort of like a covered garage that also gets solar. And I could see, you know, I'm sort of...
That could be expanded, possibly.
That's private, yeah. You know.
Right. So if you want to get serious about this, then... That would be something that one could do as a basis, similar to what Peter is doing with investigating those two plots, which is to say, what's our hardscape? You know, where are we at with that? Because of the other ancillary benefits of keeping those lots cool in the heat of the summer, which will become more and more important as time goes on.
And the RFP could also include, let's say, if we were to pick, like, I'm just kind of spitballing, we would pick a municipal lot and they were to do a vaulted ceiling with solar panels on it. There could also be integrated green roofs with that, so that the people that are not so keen on looking at a solar panel have some plantings and some softscape to then capture the stormwater, kind of conceal some of the voltaic paneling. Like, there are ways to maybe think about getting a solar farm in Hudson that isn't necessarily the field. I know the field seems like a great idea at first blush. You're like, oh, this is an inaccessible landfill. And then upon further investigation, it seems like it's more valuable land than we realized. So maybe there's a piece of land that isn't as valuable, like a municipal parking lot or a flat-topped building.
A floating solar panels on Underhill Pond.
or on the city reservoir.
Peter, can I just ask a quick question for Peter? Peter, is it possible when you're looking at this, when you're writing this RFP, that we could propose that the developer look at the possibility of this, of a solar corridor, those two fields, and maybe other locations? You know, call it a solar corridor if you want. I mean,
I think that would be too vague for them to respond. So we need them to respond. So it had to be more, you know, identifiable. I think if we said identify a solar corridor in the city of Hudson, you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I think that might be a little bit outside. I mean, my 30 years of working with RFPs tells me that wouldn't work.
I think that would be a separate RFP.
What about Michael just said regarding the top of the cap on the reservoir up on Rossman?
He's talking about Churchtown Reservoir. There's a cover on the Hudson Reservoir on the hill. It's covered.
Well, it's domed. Yeah, we have that's an enclosed building. What I'm talking
you're saying
about.
Not floating it on the Churchtown. You're saying put it on top of the dome.
No. Well, I mean, you could do that. I thought of that in the area around it, which is, you know, not a whole lot of area, but it could be usable to contribute, you know, perhaps especially to the electrical uses of the water treatment plant, which is between that and the sewage treatment plant, the two biggest electrical consumers in the city. But, you know, the relatively secluded Churchtown Reservoir, there are examples in other parts of the world of floating solar installations, which then have a dual function of keeping the evaporation down, preserving the water, as well as just, you know, generating the electricity. I don't know what the power grid is out that way, but
equally important,
and it's not a huge amount of surface area either. And it's surrounded by trees.
The problem, Michael, is that it's not Hudson. And Greenport or Taconic, which either one it is, would make it much more difficult to get any kind of solar there. They've actually instituted laws already. So that would be a real struggle.
Understood.
Yeah. Not a bad idea, but a real struggle.
Can I ask a question? Are we having this conversation of alternate sites because we could potentially propose one or two or three alternate sites, Peter? I mean, is that in place or instead of the landfill in case the amount of space that we propose for the two fields is not enough?
No, what we can, for landfills, they like 2 acres.
No, I mean, forget what I guess I'm saying is we're having a conversation right now in the CAC about the various alternative sites. Are we having this conversation because we could potentially add alternative sites to the RFP? Okay, that's all I'm asking. So this is a different conversation, actually.
Right, we're actually
having two different conversations here. About the possibility of a solar corridor and one about whether or not we want to use the landfill, but there are no alternative sites.
Wait. The original site is not the landfill.
I know. But let me just be clear here. Yeah, what I heard Peter say was there is a concern that the two other sites won't be big enough acreage.
I don't know what kind of response we would get. First of all, we need to identify specifically the survey of it. That's the first issue I'm struggling with now with Columbia County and making sure that the property is identified. Then I don't know if they're too small until we put the RFP out. And that's when we'll start learning more about what we're proposing. But we can easily put the RFP out for the two properties that Tom originally identified, X out the landfill. The proposers, may come back and say, hey, we don't like those two sites, but if you throw that landfill in, or that's the better site, they could say that. We're not asking them to say that, but we're saying, you know, we want to develop solar on these two properties. And they're going to tell us whether the tilt of the, you know, the sun is proper or whatever, the tilt of the equipment is proper. And we can just focus on those two. But since I was in that vicinity and since I was trying to work with Columbia County and I knew there was all those other aspects of that property and the trail, I was trying to make it being proactive, trying to incorporate some type of negotiation as part of this RFP, which I think will generate more interest if we included the landfill as part of this. That's my opinion.
And let me add to that, to what Peter's saying is, This is not a decision that just gets made by Peter and me. This goes before the council, before any RFP is issued. So I just want to make sure you don't think we're just, you know, I was going to say unilaterally, but bilaterally deciding this.
May I ask another question? Is the topic of developing a trail through the area or skirting around the area of the landfill with CLC off the table if there isn't a solar situation going on and agreement with the county?
I hope not. I would love to see it happen. We'd all like to see it happen. But it would end up, if the landfill's not in play, it would end up being a separate proposal. And we still don't know exactly how the ownership of that landfill works. Since if you look at the tax maps, it says City of Hudson owns it, but we are not responsible for it. So it's really a very complex land situation, you know, and we're well aware that the county, you know, would love to dump it on us with all the responsibilities, but we're not going to take that. So don't worry about that. Bug in here.
Well, so how does this move forward to the Common Council?
Well, when Peter comes up with the RFP, sorry, I got a bug annoying me here. When Peter comes up with this RFP that we've discussed, it's proposed to the council and they decide whether to issue it or not. You're all welcome to chime in then too. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously we've taken your advice here to a certain extent, and we'll propose, you know, we'll incorporate much CLC. Hold on. I agree with what Tim just proposed, and that's possible. I mean, I don't know if that's, again, until we get as Peter pointed out, until we get the full proper surveys, if the CLC entranceway is in this part of the land, it definitely could be part of it. I agree. So, you know, as Peter has said multiple times tonight, it's really partially dependent on what is discovered in this research by him that he's willing to do, by the way, as a $1,000 a year commissioner.
Oh, Peter. Now,
I'm not saying that. I know you guys don't even get that. So what you do is is God's work.
And you know, part
of
my
better RFP than I do.
Part of my thought in developing the RFP, having this other option come up, the landfill option come up, or possible option, as well as the trail component of it, was to create a paragraph in the RFP, basically telling the proposers that, hey, the city of Hudson is sensitive to the fact that we're trying to develop this with these other aspects. You know, please respond to our concerns and how it might fit in this plan. That was going to be my idea on how I broached that. But if you completely don't want, if you 100% don't want the landfill in it, I won't do that piece. Right. I'll just say, these are the two parcels. Once they're identified, you know, tell us if you can do solar on it. Mm-hmm. How's it work? You know,
I think it's reasonable in the RFP to be looking for a multidisciplinary team, the team that the prime will be a solar person, but they'll also engage an ecologist, possibly a landscape architect, and they'll create a multidisciplinary team to develop the site holistically instead of just tunnel vision solar.
Yeah, but Britt, keep in mind, this is not a feasibility study for a consultant, right? These are people that want to make money. So
right.
To do that, they're about money and how they can make it work for both parties and keep moving forward. So it's not like a let's create a feasibility study and put a team together. It's, hey, how much money do we get out of it? Is it worth our, you know, is it worth our time?
But I think if we were to write the RFP, possibly much like if you were to write the RFP for a building, you know, I want to develop affordable housing, but the requirement is that you have to have a 30% open space that's publicly accessible. Well, then the developer that goes after that is going to bring an architect and bring a landscape architect because they know they have to have that requirement. So possibly if we wrote the RFP to be a multidisciplinary team, the solar person being prime would get a sub-consultant being an ecologist, a landscape architect, an urban planner, whomever they feel will make, give them the most competitive edge to win the project.
Yeah, I agree a little bit with that, but I know these this business is a little different, and what they're in, what's important to them, and keep in mind when you start looking for other sites, the transmission connection, right, the electrical transmission line that is near, what that would connect into, that's important for them. They don't want that to be a long distance. So the distance from the proposed system to the point of interconnection, right, with the electrician, with the electrical transmission, right, that's what they are very much interested in. The Hudson plan down at the landfill area, there is that connectivity, and it is a short distance. It's within, I think, within a half mile. So,
oh, Peter, I agree with you. I think if we're going to commit to using the landfill or the site that was originally selected, I think you pick one site and do a multidisciplinary team approach, or another RFP would be written that it's just solar, and then the solar person has to do a feasibility study within municipal-owned property. I think it's almost like two different RFPs that we've kind of been skirting around, and we have to pick a lane.
The easy part about this, if it were the landfill, is that EPA basically did all the recommendations, and they have all the calculations already done. The 2017 June just has to be updated. So that document is a valuable resource for that project. So, but I'll do what I'm assigned. And if, you know, you tell me one way, I'll go that way.
I'm not saying that you should have to draft both RFPs. I'm just thinking, like, the direction seems to be it's switching. It seems like it's forking the options as opposed to one massive RFP that can hit every single wish list. I don't know if the team is seeing that duality.
Well, I think that this has brought to light a lot of
new things. I think that the landfill, I think that we originally were addressing two completely different sites that were landlocked and really not otherwise useful or accessible for the public, and didn't have really the potential as an open space for interaction, and didn't have a lot of species or animals or birds that would be disrupted in the two other sites that we were originally addressing and that David spoke to the solar committee about. I think the addition of this site, this site, I certainly understand the thinking and taking advantage of a situation that is now being offered for green infrastructure. I think that it's a big leap for me at the CAC. I don't know how others here on the CAC feel about this. And I personally am more comfortable with sticking with the original plan. I don't know if there would be a way to limit how much of the landfill, cap landfill, could be used. If it could just be a little portion or something, I have the feeling that anybody who sees that acreage wants the whole thing, and it will be covered. And I think it's just it's a completely different consideration from the CAC's perspective. And I certainly understand that Peter has done his homework on more than his homework on the possibilities and the opportunities. And I hear you about being wary that maybe the county will just do this, turn around and do this if Hudson doesn't. How does anybody else on the CAC feel about that part? That this is a step away from the original topic.
I feel the same way. I mean, you know, it started out being the parcel across the road, which was, you know, defined, understood, and then this is just a whole different series of questions that the city has to ask itself.
I agree, Hillary, as well with you. But do we need to put a little effort into rewriting the position paper that CAC? Because I think if we're all on the same page, then that's just simply a question of doing a better, creating a more tightly packed.
This was pulled together over the weekend because we were trying to calm the kerfuffle and wanted to be able to address it today.
Yeah.
So yes, that absolutely can be done. Mm-hmm.
So the basic tenor, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, but it's precipitated a good conversation. We're really digging in there, and it might not have occurred otherwise.
Yep.
Oh, absolutely. I definitely think that this is great all the way around, that it's bringing this up. So I'm not sure exactly what our steps are next. Other than to go back to doing our homework and presenting it to Tom and Peter and the council and keeping this going. And if we should, also CC Christine, if that's appropriate, or we can leave that up to you, Tom, too.
No, please include her in everything.
Okay.
Can I just add something that may have been addressed, but there's a lot of issues going on. Are we worried that if we don't put the landfill in the RFP, that the county might do solar there without a trail, and then we lose this other thing we've been wanting, which is the trail? Or is that kind of thinking too much about it, and we can think about the trail separately? Like, do we need to have?
I think the latter of your two options is the better.
I can tell you.
You're thinking too much about this.
I can tell you, I have had extensive conversations with Ron Knott, and he is seriously considering. That's why I bring it up, putting solar on all of the cap landfills, including Hudson. as a county project. So that's why I was suggesting, you know, proactive. Let's do it while we have their attention and try to work together while we have a good working relationship. I consider it a good working relationship right at this moment.
Peter?
So it's up to you.
Yeah, Peter? Are the other Columbia County landfills flat?
I don't know. I know one was, there was some relationship that Ron explained to me. One of the landfills was granted, I don't know what the relationship or how the transfer occurred, went to a town, and I don't remember which town, but he's seriously considering it. And
right, but here, this is a very important question.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right, but I urge you to find out, because that's central to this whole discussion of the Hudson landfill. The slope, the rolling hills of this are not going to work with the methodology that you described earlier of putting down flat concrete panels.
That's what the EPA recommended in their study, June 2017.
On a sloped surface.
They offered various, one of the options was the ballast.
Well, I don't disagree with that, but had they done a site visit and knew that this was sloped?
Absolutely, yeah. They did an extensive, they did all the landfills in Columbia County, and there was
one. Okay, can you send me a copy of that?
I have a really quick question. So the county is, so this idea that the county would put solar panels on all the landfills, I presume they are not connected as far as the electric, you know, the transmission lines between one landfill and the other. So that's one landfill. The Hudson landfill would be considered an appropriate site, but maybe the two fields around it wouldn't be big enough. I'm a little bit confused by why that landfill on its own would be an appropriate solar panel site, especially if the city had already built solar panels in the fields around it. I mean, it would be a completely different developer.
The only reason I say that it's a good site is because the EPA said. I don't know about the other two properties until we get the RP results.
No, that's not quite what I mean. I mean in terms of size. So if the city decided to put solar panels in the fields around the landfill, it seems unlikely that the county would find a developer who would just put a series of solar panels on that one landfill. It just seems unlikely. But anyway, I'll just...
It's 16 acres.
Wild speculation.
And again, the city doesn't have to agree to it. They can't, you know, do it willy-nilly, so whatever.
Peter, you have a link to that EPA study? My quick Googling is not finding it.
Yeah, it was done specifically for, I'll talk to Ron that and make sure I have permission to release it. It's a county document.
Thanks.
So, Tom, did you just say, Tom DiPietro, did you just say that if the county wanted to just put solar on the Hudson landfill, they wouldn't be able to do that without the permission of Hudson?
That's my understanding, yes.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
There's a legal process, and I forget what it's called, but they would invoke that, is what I understand. So there's
legal,
there's some legal process that they would invoke. Mm-hmm. I forget what it's called. It has a title, and I can't recall it.
Hillary, this is Nick. Is it okay if I talk really quickly?
Well, of course. I'm sorry, Nick. Yes, please, of course.
No, it's okay. I think Michael was the only person who was on the CAC when this happened, when I was on. But this, we went through this with the county. The county very much wants to put a landfill, and Ron Knott specifically, who is the person who could do it at the county level, wants to put a landfill on there, and we fought it years back and kept them from doing it. But they very much want to. They think it's feasible. And I think at that point, they even had a company that they were working with who was willing to do it. And we put up all these arguments. You can't do it. It's on the landfill. There's a slope. There's the clay. But they were raring to go, and we fought it back at that point. But I think the thing that I would just like to reiterate is, one, that the county could and has in the past done this or tried to do it. And so they can use all kinds of tricks when they do things, just like the city of Hudson can exempt itself from code to do with the work on their own building. The county has a lot of tricks up their sleeve that they can use. Second of all, I just want to reiterate that you can't go on the landfill now. It's not a public space for us. And the trail, I think Christine is a little more diplomatic about it, but the trail project is dead in the water. It's been stalled for about 2 or 3 years. And a lot of us have been really worried about it, that it'll never come back. And so part of the reason that I'm on this call is because when I heard about this, I can see the possibility of a way to get it back. And if the city's interested, if there's openings with the county, if we're looking at solar, if we're looking at an RFP for this property, could there be a nuanced kind of way that we could try to get all of this? And I realize that the burden gets put on the Peter Bouge now writing that RFP, but could this be a way that we could protect ourselves from a solar array that we don't have control over or have very little control over? And could we get the mix of the trail that we wanted, the access that we wanted, and some autonomy as a city? And so that's why I think it's an opportunity, because otherwise we're on the defensive, and this would be a way that we could act proactively. And I guess that's what I see as a real opportunity here.
That's the multidisciplinary team approach.
Mm-hmm. Thank you,
man. I agree with you, and I do think that companies, if it was put together right, would want to bid on something like this, and would be able to look at the different kind of elements that you talked about trying to implement into an RFP.
Right.
Well, I'm not quite sure where we are, except for needing to regroup and create positions. And I'm so glad that Peter, you could join us tonight. Tom, Christine, and Nick, and Tim. Tim hasn't said anything, but he's been here. And Sarah Sterling. It's a big topic, and I think that's what happened. The adding the landfill to the concept opened a much different topic, and we still all need time to work with it, think about it, and digest it. And I appreciate Nick's a perspective, having been there and sort of fought it off at one time, and now seeing a reason to integrate and to achieve multiple things. I'm glad to hear about that perspective. I think, do we feel that we've exhausted this topic tonight, or do we need to come to some specific conclusion at this point?
I don't think so. I mean, I think we need to digest this conversation.
I think we really need to have this conversation too.
I think trying to reach some kind of conclusion tonight doesn't take advantage of it.
Good point.
Big conversation, yeah.
So, Peter, you have earned your high salary over and over again tonight, and so thank you. And
thanks for the opportunity. It's all in the best interest of Hudson.
Well, it's appreciated. It is. Okay, the other things Tom, DiPietro, do you feel that we covered enough, or did you want to add anything?
No, I think you covered it very well, and I think you narrowed down the issues nicely, and I look forward to, you know, moving forward in some fashion with this. You know, it's been a work in progress. So it's never, it was not something, we're not near having a final RFP or anything like it. So let's just keep going. That's my concern, is that we don't lose the momentum.
Absolutely, I understand. And so thank you for also bringing both Peter and Christine in on this, because I think that it's really, really important.
The first thing I did after our solar meeting was to call Christine and let her know that maybe we could get her trail back in action.
Yeah, which would be great. Okay. I think there were only two other topics, and I'll be really quick about this. One was the urban forestry program. It's moving forward. I'm not sure. I have to check with City Hall and make sure that the contract was written and or signed. And the forester might be here actually this week to do a cursory overview of the city and start to plot out how he and his team are going to work on the inventory. And one aspect of the forestry program or the inventory, when they're here, we were hoping to integrate an educational unit with the youth department, with the foresters at Oakdale. And I'm wondering if there are people here on the CAC team that would be like to help in a one-day educational unit with children at the youth center at Oakdale, based on forestry, and the forester would join in. So who's looking at Tom O'Dowd right now?
Not me.
Happy to give input. But, you know, kind of busy times. But, yeah, give me more info.
Oh, I will.
We'll talk.
We will. Yeah. I just know you'd be so great at it. I would be involved. I think that Britta said she would also be involved. So it's not asking you to carry the whole thing alone or anything. It just could be a really fun time. Are there any other topics that people would like to bring up tonight? I think that we're all pretty tired.
Spent.
Anybody from the public? Press?
Aaliyah's not here, I don't think.
No. Oh. No, but Carol counts. Oh.
Hillary, maybe you and David
in your opinion could
spearhead the continuing of this discussion by email.
Yeah.
Maybe another meeting, but hopefully just by email.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Linda, did you get all that?
Phew.
One thing we didn't do, we didn't vote on the minutes. I personally didn't. I didn't. I was so busy today, I didn't read them.
Do it next time.
Okay.
We'll do that. Does anybody want to make a motion to have dinner or adjourn or something?
Motion to adjourn.
Second then.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say nay. Okay.